Good afternoon, and welcome to ConSource's new podcast series exploring books about United States constitutional history. I am Julie Silverbrook, Executive Director of ConSource, or the Constitutional Sources Project, a nonprofit devoted to facilitating greater access to and understanding of United States constitutional history. If you've recently written a book about the U.S. Constitution or American history and would like to discuss it with us on our podcast, please contact me at julie.silverbrook@consource.org. Today's guest is John Bessler, an associate professor of law at the University of Baltimore Law School and an adjunct professor at Georgetown University Law Center. John is here with us today to discuss his new book about Italian Enlightenment philosopher Cesare Beccaria, The Birth of American Law, an Italian Philosopher and the American Revolution. Welcome, John.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Doing well. I want to talk about your book here, and let's start off with a sort of generic question. Who is Cesare Beccaria?
Cesare Beccaria is an Italian who was born in 1738 and died in 1794. And he wrote a book called On Crimes and Punishments when he was 26 years old, actually. And that book became a very influential book, not only in Europe, in places like France and in parts of England as well, with at least among some thinkers, but also especially in the United States.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit more about his treatise on crimes and punishment?
Yeah. So he was actually somebody who was very interested in math, and he was an economist. And he got interested in writing about crimes and punishments because his mentor, a person named Pietro Verri, suggested to him that he write this what became a treatise. Back then, it was more had the urgency of sort of a political pamphlet. But he... and it wasn't a very long book. It was about a little over 100 pages long, and it was published originally anonymously without his name. Only later did his name become public because of fears of persecution. But Verri had suggested that he write this book, and Pietro Verri's brother, Alessandro, actually was the protector of prisoners in his area. And so he provided information, and so that led him to have this exploration of crimes and punishments. And one of the key things that he sort of pioneered in American law was this idea of proportionality, which was adopted from his treatise. And so he wrote a lot about proportionality, kind of using a mathematician's kind of approach to the subject, felt that there was a scale of crimes and punishments and that punishment should be calibrated to the nature of the crime.
Great. An important principle, I think, that sort of comes up in Eighth Amendment jurisprudence.
Yeah, you still see this today. The echoes of his proportionality writings do show up in U.S. law, very much so.
Great. Before we delve into his influence on American penal reform, can you briefly discuss how his work has impacted, or did impact, rather, the American founding fathers?
Sure. First of all, to give a little history of the book. So the book was originally published in Italian in 1764. So this is actually the 250th anniversary of the publication of the book in Italy. And it was published in Livorno. And then in 1766, it was translated into French and became a very popular book in France among the French philosophers. So they read the book and translated the book into French. And then, of course, a lot of the founding fathers spoke French as well. And then actually the same translator that later translated Jefferson's Notes in the State of Virginia was the translator for the French translator for Beccaria's book. And so then in 1767, the next year, the book was translated into English. And it appeared in London. And then we have George Washington, Thomas Jefferson buying a copy in 1769. John Adams quotes Beccaria's book at the Boston Massacre trial the following year in 1770. And really, the book became sort of the equivalent of a bestseller today. It was a much read, not only among the founders themselves, but among European intellectuals, and also even beyond the sort of lawyer crowd that you might expect. The book talked a lot about opposing tyranny, and there were some things in the book about republicanism as well. And so the book had a broader audience than some law-related books might have. And it was advertised for sale by subscription in the United States early on. And so it really became the book that you sort of had to read if you wanted to have a good education.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit more about how the book might have shaped some of the thinking of these notable people like Washington, Jefferson, Adams, etc.?
Sure. So Washington originally purchased the book for his ward when he had married Martha. He had a stepson, and he bought the book for who's known as Master Custis. It shows up, the echoes of Beccaria's writing show up in Washington's later writings when he is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. He starts writing to the Continental Congress saying that executions were too frequent. Beccaria was the first Enlightenment writer to speak out against the death penalty. Adopted some of those ideas of proportionality in his own writings and thought that there should be a gradation of punishments. And so you can see clearly the influence of Beccaria with Washington. Thomas Jefferson, when he was making his Commonplace book, he kept extensive notes, which lawyers did back then, and he copied 26 different passages from Beccaria's work into his own Commonplace book, in the original Italian, actually. So one of the things I discovered was that the French Enlightenment is often remembered, but the Italian Enlightenment has really gotten short shrift in historical sense, because the founders were looking to that idea of the Roman Republic. They were trying to see how they could emulate a successful republic, and they were also studying Italian. So John Adams studied Italian, John Quincy Adams studied Italian, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson. So there's a lot of the founders, Benjamin Franklin studied Italian. They were really, in some cases, reading these books in the original Italian.
That's great. So can you talk a little bit about Beccaria's role in penal reform, both here in the United States and abroad?
Sure. So in Europe, Europe was the first place to see the death penalty be curtailed. So you had... although you had some examples, I guess, earlier on in the United States, too, with William Penn, but he didn't completely eliminate the death penalty. William Penn, of course, the founder of Pennsylvania, had put in place a code in the 17th century that curtailed the death penalty to a large degree. But in Europe, it was in 1786 that we first saw the death penalty be eliminated completely in Tuscany. And then in 1787, same year that the Constitutional Convention of Philadelphia started up, you had the Austrian death penalty also be eliminated, save for crimes of revolt against the state. And so after Beccaria's book appeared, you had a lot of interest in penal reform in Europe. And of course, with the transatlantic book trade, it didn't take long before that reached the United States. And so you had a lot of founders of the United States reading this book, seeing how they can implement the book, and including people like William Bradford. William Bradford was the second Attorney General of the United States. He had attended what was then known as the College of New Jersey, now Princeton, with James Madison. They were close friends. And William Bradford wrote a book called An Inquiry How Far the Death Penalty is Necessary in Pennsylvania, where he really questioned the necessity for capital punishment in what was a fairly long came out as a pamphlet, but it was really a legislative report looking to curtail the death penalty further in Pennsylvania.
Great, great. So we know that Beccaria was influential in the realm of penal law and penal reform. Your book, I think, does a nice job of discussing the other areas of American thought in which Beccaria had some influence. Can you elaborate upon that for us?
Yeah. So first of all, we had with the Eighth Amendment, of course, we had the idea of cruelty. And so the idea of cruelty was talked about a lot in Beccaria's book. And of course, that influenced the founder's views on cruelty. But beyond that, there was also a lot of discussion in the book about this idea of tyranny. And so when you see writers like Thomas Paine, for example, who wrote Common Sense, you see a lot of the idea of this trying to eliminate oppression. One of the things that he wrote about was this idea of letting each individual have rights. So back then, of course, women, minorities didn't get rights. But in Italy, there was this idea that the head of the household should be in charge of everything. And Beccaria had actually had a fairly serious dispute with his own father, who had not approved of the woman he planned to marry. And so for several months, there was this big battle between father and son about whether or not he would be able to marry this woman. He was actually locked up in his own house, put under house arrest. Eventually, he prevailed, and he was allowed to marry the woman. But this idea of having control of your own destiny was something that he really felt strongly. And so you see in the book that he felt that people should have more freedom, that if there was a household of five people, that there should be five free people in the household, not just one. And so this idea of individual liberty was one that was very appealing to the founders, of course, who felt oppressed by the British. And one of the things that you find, if you look back at the documents, which I know that your organization spends a lot of time putting out there, is there was a letter to the inhabitants of Quebec. So the Americans were trying to get the Canadians on their side. In 1774, the Continental Congress actually sends a letter. It gets translated into French, some other languages as well, to be distributed north of what's now the United States. And they cited two writers there as being very influential. One was Montesquieu, who, of course, we all know is dealing with separation of powers, but the other one was Beccaria. And so the idea of republicanism was very much a thread that runs through this book. Another area where he was also influential, although there was a lot of writers that were writing about this, is the Second Amendment. So Beccaria did not believe that guns should be regulated. Of course, this was in the days of where people had standing armies, and the idea of arming the populace was a very important one at that time. This was in the days before we had, workplace shootings and where the public really was being oppressed by the monarchies. So that was another area where, again, amongst several writers, Beccaria's work was certainly consulted. Jefferson, for example, copied a passage of Beccaria's writings about sort of gun ownership into his Commonplace book.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you've brought up the documents because, as you know, that's sort of the bread and butter of Consource. We're all about providing access to historical documents. So can you tell us a little bit more about your research process? Where did you do your research? Was it here, in Italy, both? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. I focused on the United States because I wanted to see what the influence was here. And so I focused on American sources primarily. There was a few Americans who had direct contacts in Italy. Jefferson took a three-week trip through Italy and met some people there. And then Jefferson's secretary, William Short, also made an extensive trip to Italy. There was quite a few people after studying in England, for example, or in Scotland, that would try to go down to Italy. That became kind of a tradition, just as there were some Italians that actually came to the United States in the 1700s time period. That became a very popular thing, especially among the nobility in Italy, to come to the United States to see this new republic that was here. And the Italians were quite fascinated with that. So but in terms of the documents, a lot of the documents, of course, are available online now, mm-hmm. thanks to organizations like Consource. There's actually databases of rare books that are available. A lot of the research was done online because the sources are available online, and it's easier to find them, and it's easier to search for them that way. Of course, made some trips to rare book rooms, of course, but
always a treat to go
look and to see these old books. But it's also much quicker now to go online and to find these sources online, and so that was a really something that 20 years ago I don't think I could have written this book actually, but now that things are digitized. Makes it much more easy to figure out what happened and piece together this story, because the book is really a exploration of how the Italian Enlightenment shaped the American Revolution. And so there's more than just Beccaria's book. There's also a book called The Science of Legislation by someone named Gaetano Filangieri, who had actually corresponded directly with Benjamin Franklin, and that was also an attempt to sort of set up a following on Beccaria's work, to set up an actual system, an actual scale of crimes and punishments. And so the founders were fascinated by this idea of the civil law, and so like things like the Justinian Code, And this idea of a written document, and that's what we ended up with the U.S. Constitution, of course, a written document. There was an interest in codifying the law, letting people know what the laws were, actually, because in the common law system, of course, there was a lot of discretion among the judge, and sometimes the population didn't necessarily know what the judge would do. And so this idea of being told in advance what the rules of the road were, what the laws are going to be, was something that the founders were very much interested in. And that's also something that comes from this Italian Enlightenment, this idea of the civil code.
Great. So as my last question for you, why should people buy and read this book? It's a big question.
Sure, sure. Well, I think it'll change a lot of people's perceptions about how the country actually got started in terms of the laws. This is really an unknown story. There's really been a lot of focus on the Scottish Enlightenment, the French Enlightenment, but the Italian Enlightenment has really been neglected. And if you look back at the historical sources, Beccaria's book and some of these other Italian writers were very influential. But then the Civil War came, and then they kind of gotten forgotten. Montesquieu's book shows up in the Federalist Papers. Beccaria's book, for whatever reason, did not. And the Federalist Papers, obviously important, but have gotten sort of an outsized reputation. There was a lot of other things that influenced the founding generation. And if you look back at the old newspapers, this book was being, on Crimes and Punishments, was being debated on college campuses. There was a lot of influence. And so I think anybody interested in the Constitution or the founding era will really be surprised at how much the Italian Enlightenment really shaped the American Revolution and the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights itself.
Great. Well, John, thank you. John Bessler's book is The Birth of American Law, An Italian Philosopher and the American Revolution. We'll provide a link where you can purchase the book. Thanks for being with us today, John.
Thank you, Julie.